Our first scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Javante. Thank you, Cheryl. Our second scripture reading this morning is a continuation in the 11th chapter of Matthew. It's not exactly the next verses, but this reading comes from Matthew 11, 25 through 30. So let us listen again for God's word in our lives. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. A fisherman who fancied himself to be a skilled flute player made his way to the sea one day, taking with him both his flute and his nets. Taking up a position on a projecting rock, he started to play the flute, thinking that the fish would be attracted by the sweetness of his tune and would come of their own accord, jump out of the water to come to him. But after much effort, no fish had come, and so he put his flute aside. He then picked up his casting net and threw it into the water, catching many fish. And he took the fish out of the net and threw them on the shore. And when he saw them wriggle, he cried out to them, "You bloody fish, when I played the flute, you wouldn't dance. But as soon as I stopped, you started up." What I just read is a fable. It is one of Aesop's fables. We have all heard of Aesop's fables. I did just a little bit of research on Aesop this past week and learned that we really don't know that much about him. Aesop is one of those characters from the past, from the ancient past, who has become rather mythological. Probably someone who really existed, probably someone who told stories that had object lessons in them. But he was in a time of oral tradition. This is very much like our biblical tradition. The stories we have in our Bible, especially the Old Testament stories, are stories that come to us through oral tradition and were not really written down until hundreds of years after the time projected in the stories. And so these oral traditions grow and grow, and myths grow around the tellers of the oral traditions. Aesop is one of those characters. And what we need to realize this morning is that the tales of Aesop, the fables of Aesop, were around during the time of Jesus, because Aesop's fables are as old as 600 BC. And so by the time Jesus was alive, these were a part of the tales that were told to children all over the Mediterranean, the Far East. They would have become part of the cultural lexicon, if you will. And so when Jesus says, "It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn.'" What he's referring to is probably this fable. But really what he's trying to get across to the people that are listening to him is how they are reacting to what they are hearing. He's comparing the people of his time to children who are playing the flute, but no one is dancing. They're mourning, but no one is wailing. They're trying to make things say what they want them to say. And so nothing's ever right for them. But it's within the context of how they're looking at John the Baptist and Jesus. If we go to the first part of this 11th chapter, we find Jesus talking about John the Baptist. And I want to share this with you. This is the first part of that chapter from Eugene Peterson's The Message, which is in contemporary language. It sounds just a little bit different, but this is the conversation that has just taken place before our readings this morning. "When Jesus finished placing this charge before his 12 disciples, he went on to teach and preach in their villages. John, meanwhile, had been locked up in prison. When he got wind of what Jesus was doing, he sent his own disciples to ask, 'Are you the one we've been expecting, or are we still waiting?' And Jesus told them, 'Go back and tell John what's going on. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. Is this what you were expecting? Then count yourself most blessed.' And when John's disciples left to report, Jesus started talking to the crowd about John. 'Well, what did you expect when you went out to see him in the wild? A weekend camper? Hardly. What then? A sheik in silk pajamas? Not in the wilderness, not by a long shot. Well, what then? A prophet? That's right, a prophet. Probably the best prophet you'll ever hear. He is the prophet that Malachi announced when he wrote, I'm sending my prophet ahead of you to make the road smooth for you. Let me tell you what's going on here. This is Jesus talking. No one in history surpasses John the Baptizer. But in the kingdom, he prepared for you, the lowliest person is ahead of him. For a long time now, people have tried to force themselves into God's kingdom. But if you read the books of the prophets and God's law closely, you will see them culminate in John, teaming up with him in preparing the way for the Messiah of the kingdom. Looked at it this way, John is the Elijah you've all been expecting to arrive and introduce the Messiah. Are you listening to me? Really listening? Basically, Jesus is telling the people around him, did you not listen to John? Are you not listening to me? We're telling you about the kingdom. We're telling you that the kingdom is where the poor people are taken care of, where the captive are set free, where the lame walk and the blind see. We're trying to tell you that the kingdom is a place of liberation for people. It's a place of freedom. But you're not listening. By the way, Peterson's translation, are you listening? Are you really listening? Is what we always say, let those who have ears hear. Are we listening to the gospel? Well, what happens when we don't listen? Let's just take that track for a moment. And what happens when we don't listen are the verses that come in between the two readings we had this morning. Isn't it interesting, the things that get left out? What happens when we don't listen? Jesus says, doom to you, Chorazin. Doom, Bethsaida. If Tyre and Sidon had seen half of the powerful miracles you have seen, they would have been on their knees in a minute. At judgment day, they'll get off easy compared to you. And Capernaum, with all your peacocks strutting, you are going to the end of the abyss. If the people of Sodom had had your chances, the city would still be around. At judgment day, they'll get off easy compared to you. Jesus points out, you want to know what happens when you don't listen? These are folks who didn't listen. Are we listening to the gospel? Are we listening to Jesus when he calls us to places of compassion and care and justice? The gospel calls us to these places. But Jesus reminds us that the gospel is not a heavy yoke. It's still a yoke. It's still a responsibility. It's still something we must carry with us, but it is light. It is light compared to carrying the heavy burdens of the world. He also reminds us that the gospel is still a burden. But it's an easy burden. It's an easy burden to carry. And I think what he's trying to tell us is that we're trying too hard much of the time. We are trying to force the gospel when in actuality the gospel surrounds us all of the time and upholds us and fills us with life itself. And when we can relax in this grace, that's when we can really begin to live the gospel. And we live the gospel with a lightness of yoke and an ease of burden. There's one phrase here that really stands out in this reading to me. And it's the phrase, "Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." Wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. We know when wisdom is at work in the world, in our own lives, in the lives of people around us, when we see the fruit of our labors, as Jesus says in other parts of the scripture. Eugene Peterson, again, from The Message, translate that phrase as, "The proof is in the pudding." We have other phrases for it. It's where the rubber hits the road. Wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Are we listening in these times that we live in? These times of turmoil, these times of global pandemic, these times of isolation, these times of fear, these times of anguish, these times of suffering, these times of death, these times of injustice to people because of the color of their skin or their nationality or their sexual orientation. We live in very difficult times. Times that we could take on as a heavy burden. Times that we could take on as a yoke. But Jesus tells us, "Take my yoke, it's light. Take my burden, it's easy." Lighten up is kind of what Jesus is telling us. Chill. We don't have to save the world. But if we let go of those burdens, we can begin the process of salvation within our own lives and in the people we encounter. So as we come to the table today, we come to remember that we are the children of God. We live in God's grace. We live by God's grace. We live through God's grace because God's grace surrounds us. And we come to the table today to remember this. My friends, as we have just celebrated the 4th of July in our country, a day on which some people celebrate independence, we are reminded that there are many in the world, and many within our own country, who do not have the privilege of the freedom and independence and justice and care and mercy that some have. And this is the call to the gospel. We are reminded that God is the God of all nations, not just some. God is the God of all people, not just some. And Christ comes to us, bidding us to follow Him, to take on His yoke, to take on His burden, and become instruments of peace and justice and hope and love in the world. And by these things, wisdom and truth will be known among us. Amen.